To introduce our next speaker, Alan Aquino graduated Cal State Northridge in 1998 as a special major in Asian American and Comparative Ethnic Histories. After attaining his master's in Asian American Studies from UCLA, he began his career as a lecturer and community organizer at CSUN in the fall of 2000. He has also lectured at UCLA and Loyola Marymount University. A published poet and writer, Alan is the former president of the Filipino American National Historical Society, the LA chapter, and founding member of the Larry Itjong, you know, pronounce it for us, please, Foundation Through Education. The scholarship focuses on Asian Pacific American history, media, contemporary issues, pop culture, and literary arts. Alan, welcome and thank you.
Oh, well, thank you all indeed very much. This is the first time that I'm meeting a number of you, and I really am humbled and tremendously honored to be here tonight. Just to even be invited to be with this particular company tonight is it really is a tremendous honor for me. I am a member of the Ethnic Studies Tribe over at CSUN. You know, I'm a warrior for the Ethnic Studies Tribe, and you know, we're a collective family of not just Asian American Studies. You know, we're also Chicano Studies, Central American Studies, Africana Studies, American Indian Studies, GWS, Gender and Women's Studies. You know, we're all part of that same tribe. And right now, as I speak, you know, the president and his lackeys have been openly critical about critical race theory and ethnic studies, which to me means they're scared, and we're doing our job right. You know, because if you take the initiative to take classes with our ethnic studies family, you learn quite immediately how ecumenical we really are. You know, we are interconnected. On that note, I do want to wish everyone a happy Filipino American History Month. Indulge me. Let me explain. The Filipino American History Month was so declared by the Filipino American National Historical Society back in 92. And was declared so by the Congress and Senate of the United States back in 2009 under the leadership of President Obama. And the reason why October is Filipino American History Month is because it was in the month of October, respectively in 1565 and 1587, that Luzones Indios, or Indios Pintados, as the Spanish called us, brought Filipino slaves to their territories in California and Mexico by way of the infamous Manila Acapulco galleons. You know, there was a trans-Pacific slave trade as well, in which Filipinos and Bengali Indians were enslaved and brought to the American territories of the Spanish. And likewise, Nahuatl-speaking people were enslaved and brought to the Philippines as well. So to study Filipino-American history is to really study the cross-pollination of our peoples that has been going on for hundreds of years. We are so much more deeply connected than we realize. The year 2020 marks the 55th anniversary of the Delano grape strike of 1965, which led to the formation of the United Farm Workers Movement. And the co-founder of the UFW, alongside Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, who I consider an honorary Pinay, honorary Filipina, was Larry Itjong. He was one of the chief catalysts of that movement. And I actually learned about Manong Larry in Rui Acuña's class in Chicano Studies. And you know, when I was a kid, I would think that Filipino words like tita and lola were like Polynesian words, because you know, we're a mix of Polynesian and Arab and Indian and not so much Spanish culture, but culture by way of Mexico and Central America. A lot of our vocabulary is actually based in Nahuatl. And I do this presentation that blows the minds of my students, where I show how in everyday language and in everyday food recipes, our cultures are so deeply cross-pollinated as they have been for hundreds of years. So, you know, to study Filipino American History Month is to see the common root, the common rhizomes from which we all have influenced each other. So, you know, it's bigger than just being part of the same struggle. We really are part of the same history and family and heritage. And the more I study that history, the more I realize my connections with everyone else. Tia Chuchas has long been a part of my curriculum. I require my students to attend at least one community event. And Tia Chuchas, especially since, you know, a lot of my colleagues in Chicano Studies played a big role in, you know, the establishment of that magnificent institution. Tia Chuchas events are always on my roster. And as a moderator for classes in the EOP program, the Educational Opportunities Program, a lot of my students are Black, Latino, and Southeast Asian, and institutions like the Achuchas is like medicine for them. And I'm just, you know, so proud to see how the influence of the Achuchas community has taken root with my own students. So for me, one of the great joys is bearing witness to seeing how these crazy ideas of ours, they're not so crazy. They're pretty damn real. In fact, they're so real that the dumbasses in power right now are getting scared because we're doing the right thing. So why be cynical? Why be cynical? The strength we need is all around us. Anyway, I'm going to read two poems tonight. And I'm a little nervous, I have to admit. The first poem I'm going to read was graciously published by Cultural Weekly, thanks to Chi Wan and to Mike for inviting me to submit. And I'm proud to say that I have been an admirer of Maestro Luis's work since I was 18, 19. And, you know, we've assigned your books for our EOP Summer Bridge classes, you know, as long as I can remember. You know, we're all about banned books. You know what I mean? If your book is banned, you're doing it right. So anyway, this is a semi-quasi-autobiographical poem of sorts. I suppose my writing style is grounded in what I like to call, it's like Filipino English lyricism. It's a certain kind of nuance and cadence of putting together words. I like to think of it as like emotional sheet music in a way. So my poetry is really meant more for the page than for the stage, which is why, you know, I'm often hesitant to read, but when I'm invited, I'm always happy to. Anyway, this first poem I'll read, the first of two, is entitled Area Codes 213-310-323-626 and 818. One, a half Binoy Vato Loco managed his issues with a Mossberg loaded with pit bull slugs. He learned how to perforate a brown body before he could even make love to one, and he claims he's still down. Another became a big bad pork chop beating down his nephew's homies, wasting nary a thought when they got thrown back to the joint where they were screwed in every way for life. Another marched for the revolution, and when it didn't work out, he jumped on that revolution. Then after that breakup, he's sticking it out with this one, riding it out till his kids grow old enough to leave him. And yet another, cross-country via trailer, scored a gig, and with his tier one graduate degree, teaches composition to Midwestern racists who to his face call him a monkey. And I became a poet so I could escape dogma. And so I carry always, like buckets of dirty water, the heavy. To read, but when I'm invited, I'm always happy to. Anyway, this first poem I'll read, the first of two, is entitled Area Codes 213-310-323-626 and 818. One, a half Binoy Vato Loco managed his issues with a Mossberg loaded with pit bull slugs. He learned how to perforate a brown body before he could even make love to one, and he claims he's still down. Another became a big bad pork chop beating down his nephew's homies, wasting nary a thought when they got thrown back to the joint where they were screwed in every way for life. Another marched for the revolution, and when it didn't work out, he jumped on that revolution. Then after that breakup, he's sticking it out with this one, riding it out till his kids grow old enough to leave him. And yet another, cross-country via trailer, scored a gig, and with his tier one graduate degree, teaches composition to Midwestern racists who to his face call him a monkey. And I became a poet so I could escape dogma. And so I carry always, like buckets of dirty water, the heaviness of memory, the burden of forgiveness. Well into the next decade, we might converge to assess all we've been, all we've become. We will hail from different zones. Our scars will prove our histories. One of us might say, I fucked up. That's just how I do. Another might say, oh, whatever I did, I meant well. And I will likely say very little, just listening, speechless with fascination, terror, or even boredom. And maybe I'll write about all this down the line, encoding worlds and feelings, showing everything by telling almost nothing. A day in the life. Thank you very much. For my second and last poem, it's a little something different, I guess. long, funny story here. There is a magnificent news blog called Angry Asian Man, which is moderated by Phil Yu. And it's one of the premier sources of Asian American pop culture and media representation. So angryasianman.com. Back in 2012, they had a poetry feature called the Angry Poetry Corner. And I was invited to submit, but I sent them some poems with extreme reluctance because, you know, I don't always wear my ethnic studies, identity on my sleeve. I don't always overtly stress my Filipino-ness, my ethnicity, because, you know, that's my sense of like what I call Philippine English lyricism. It's bigger than that. It's, you know, there's more to it than just that. So my poems lacked a sense of ethnicity and place, and they decided to publish me anyway. And I graciously asked, well, why? My poems aren't, you know, this poem isn't angry, and it doesn't really stress, you know, my Asian-ness or whatever. And they said, well, that's exactly why we want to publish it. We want to show that there is varieties of experience articulated through poetry, and that, unlike popular stereotypes, Filipino-American men, Asian-American men like you are capable of, expression in other forms. And so long story short, they published this poem. I was very grateful they did. And I was bracing myself for some like criticism, who is this guy? He doesn't even talk about his Asian-ness or whatever. And the opposite happened. It actually got a very, very positive response. And the tone is totally different than the poem that I just read. So anyway, this poem is entitled Dream Log of a Needful Heart. A poet friend tells me, you only love one heart, even if you've been with many. They call me the chronicler. For an untraveled boy, you have seen so much. He cribs Rainer Maria Rilke. Believe in love so vast that it'll be with you no matter how far you travel. And I ask my poet friend, for what should I write my best? And he asks, who makes your heart sing? And I remember so simply, so easily, I am so scared to talk aloud, and I keep my secret magic. And now an episode of Face Old Fears. I confess my feelings. I don't know if you believe me. I don't know if you'd reciprocate, if I'd fit in your heaven, if losing you would be God's game plan for something better. I don't mean for this to spoil our moments. To me, it just makes them true. I love you anyway. You take me here, tenderly, keeping my breath. There's only the gold arc of your profile, your eyelashes, your scent, your size, your skin. I hold your hand with silence. I kiss you with stillness. I pray for permission, marveled by rhyme. Luzon and Providencia dazzle under the same stars. Our ancestors' wind dance, believing this will bring back the breeze and river goddess. Conquistadores come to hunt them for crimes against the church. You run with our people during revolution. You defend everyone. Your blood wets the volcanic grass. And though you're an immortal, it is a good time to die, for you will rise when needed most. It is your spirit, that very spirit that runs through my blood like the wind, that heals my lonesome thirst, that gives me more than the best I will ever give. Everything depends on company. I could see Paris four times, celebrate mass in Rome, dance with wolves during ecstatic, endless weekends. But if I did all that alone, what would it matter? I could walk with you in the breezy summer light of the grove, roaming our dreams, treasures. I don't need to scour the earth for joy. I keep more than I deserve when you're next to me. Awakened now, I gather everything I have learned. Possessions bring wealth to no one. You enrich others with your sheer self. You are the wealthiest person I know, and I have become a rich poet for simply knowing you. Thank you very much indeed.